school hall. And just something that I thought about a while back is like, Lord, why don't you give us a building? You know, there's like there's so many church buildings. And for me, I actually came to the place where I felt like God said to me, He doesn't want to give us a building. And I don't know why this, I'm talking down this road, but maybe it's for someone here. And you know why? Because in this congregation, we've got directors of companies and big companies. We've got people that own their own businesses. We've got, in Melkbos is known for, you know, like there's the golf estate and there's all these places. But you know what I love to see? What happens on a Sunday here? Those guys, whether they run massive companies or part of directors of this or that, or even just working for someone, those guys are here on a Sunday morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock, setting up, serving, getting ready for what God wants to do. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Like, I'd never want a building because of that. Because if we can lose the wonder of just serving and loving and being part of the kingdom of God. And this morning, I've been thinking about just, you know, what God has been doing within us and within this congregation. And it's been an incredible time of just following what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Not that previously we didn't, but it's been different. And I never want to say, like, we don't want to be different for the sake of being different. I actually don't want to be different. Because if I'm different, I'm just different. You get that? Like, yeah, it's not about being different. It's about following what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But I do want to say, when we follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do, it won't be what we used to. There's a scripture whoever can tell me the scripture, it's a famous scripture, I just forgot where it is, but it says, God says, my ways are not your ways. Isaiah 55. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So immediately think about the heavens. Think about how high God's ways are. And we come with our understanding and we're just wanting to plug it into what God wants to do. You get that? So it might look different. So this morning, even as we look at this, what I feel the Lord wants to stir within us, I want to say, don't get caught up with the difference of what the ways of God are. Amen? Okay. So I want to read a scripture. I'm going to start with this scripture this morning. I'm going a little bit off script, which is great for me because I just need to find it. John 7, verse 37 to 39. It's Jesus speaking. And actually, just before that, just want to give you guys a bit of a context of where it is. It's literally on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast that the Jews used to have, remembering the time that they actually called it also the Feast of Booths. So the Feast of Booths was where they were living in tents. It was after Egypt. They came out of Egypt. God said, come and follow me into the promised land. And they actually lived in tents during that time. And the Israelites, the Jews, used to celebrate this in remembrance of that time, of when they lived in tents, when they didn't have a home of their own, where they will go on the journey towards coming to the place where God wants them to be. So what other story is like that? I want to say your story is like that. You know that the Bible says that we are just here temporary. We are living in a temporary body, a tent. We are living in, you know, just a moment of just, it might be for some of us, I don't know if this is lucky or unlucky, 90 years. That's maybe unlucky, hey. But, Uncle John, how old are you now? 88, almost there. Uncle John. But Uncle, you know, it's temporary. And we're on our journey towards our eternity. And this is what the Israelites, this is what they would celebrate. And why they celebrated the Feast of Booths, because it's actually that time. you know, many miracles happened. One was where God fed them. Manna fell down from heaven and they could eat. They're celebrating God's provision. They're celebrating God's protection. Because while they were in the desert, you know that their sandals never wore through, the Bible says? Now, those are cool shoes. Well, depending on trend, you know. Maybe they changed color as they, you know, as it happened. So yeah. But also, they had water. And this thing of water with the Feast of Tabernacles is so big during that time. What the priest would actually do is they would go down to what they called the Pool of Shiloh. The priest would walk down, get a bowl of water, and actually come back to the temple, and they would throw it out over the temple. Have you heard that before? Is everybody with me? Okay. Why did they do that? Have you ever wondered? Why would they come and throw out the water? Because it actually speaks about there was an abundance of water. And Jesus, in this feast, stands up in this, what's happening. And he says the following. Before he says that, I want to mention one thing about water. Remember Moses, where the Israelites were thirsty? He came to this big rock. What did God say? Hit the rock. Remember that. Okay? What happened? Water gushed out. And then they carried on and they came to that same rock again. And people were thirsty again. I wonder what it is with, you know. And what did God say then to Moses? Speak to the rock. And then what did Moses do? He hit the rock. So who feels God can sometimes be a bit unfair? I've got to teach my girls. It's not about being fair. Dad, that's unfair. How many times have you said to God, that's unfair? Okay. Because you get David, who murders someone, who sleeps with another guy's wife, who does all these things. And God said, man after my own heart. Moses, okay, you obviously repented. Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Everybody's like, no! Moses just hit the rock. Why is that such a big deal? Have you ever thought of that? Such a big deal that Jesus said to him, you will never enter the promised land. That's like crazy. You know why? Because the picture that God wanted to give the Israelites was one of the rock of our salvation. He will be struck at some point, and his blood will flow for you and me. Once for everybody, our sins can be washed away and forgiven. But God knows who we are. Like Paulette said, we're not perfect, but we want to walk in purity. So when we're not perfect, we don't have to strike the rock anymore. Jesus doesn't have to die again and again and again for us. All we need to do is come to him and say, Jesus, would you forgive me? Will you come and wash me? We speak. What did I say earlier? It's about a relationship with God. Do you get that? So why God was not stoked with Moses? Because he actually broke the picture of what God wanted to show the Israelites. And Jesus now, with this in mind, comes and he stands up at the last day of this feast. And he says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture had said, the verse before that, verse 37, 37 to, you copied my notes wrong. 37 to 39. It's all good. But 37 is very important. So 37 says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit of God, who those who believed in him were to receive, as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus has not yet been glorified. So Jesus comes on a day where he knows the significance of water for the Israelites. And he says, It's not about the natural water. It's about you drinking of me. It's about you coming and drinking of me. And if you do, you will never thirst again. So in light of that, that picture of Jesus being the living water, years before that, God comes to the Israelites in the book of Jeremiah. And he gives them this verse in the book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is a prophet coming. So I'm going to tie all of this together. Just stick with me. I'm not going to be long this morning. But Jeremiah comes and he says, Israelites, people of God, who we are now, there's two things that God has got against you. So can you put up Jeremiah 2 and verse 13? It says, my people have committed two sins. Firstly, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Interesting, eh? They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And secondly, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So what has that got to do with Jesus being the living water? Everything. Everything. Because what God is saying there to the Israelites, we do today. We, in our living, we come and we go, God, I know how to live my life. I know what to do. I've got plans. I've got ways. I've got things that I want to do. Especially in our Western culture, in our Western mindset of everything that comes our way. And God says, firstly, you have forsaken me. And secondly, you build these things that you think can carry water. But it's not. So I want to show you in the New Testament of that, what that is. And let's quickly look to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. So I find myself often reading this scripture. So I think many of you, as soon as I start, you guys will go, yep, I've heard Boren say this before. Okay? So let's just read this. And this, again, I just want to iterate, this wasn't written to the world out there. Paul wasn't writing this and going, hey, you unbelievers, there's going to come times of difficulty. He's saying church. He writes to Timothy in the church. And he says, Timothy, there's going to come times of difficulty. And what will it look like when those times of difficulties come? And I want to say we are living in those times of difficulties. And as I go through it, you'll go, oh yeah, this makes sense. I've seen this before. I understand this. So let's quickly look at this. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, but understand that in the last days there will come times of difficulties. Verse 2. For people will be lovers of self. I'm not going to use the selfie thing again. We all know that's the picture. We all know when a photo gets taken. Where am I on that photo? A group photo. Am I right? At a wedding? Who cares about the bride? What did I look like, you know? I look at my kids when they take photos. It's like, you've got to stand a certain way. You know, I don't know. You've got to tilt your head. So it's very important how a photo gets taken. Because we love ourselves. We love ourselves. Actually, just think about that. We love ourselves. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get. It's all about how do I make my life better? How do I make my life comfortable? How do I make my life just fit in with what I think is best? Lovers of money. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Next one, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving of good. I'm just rambling these through. Treacherous. You know what treacherous is? Treacherous is disloyal, betrayal, stabbing a friend in the back. Who's experienced that in church? Remember, this scripture was written to the church. Okay. Lovers of pleasure, rather lovers of God. And this is the scripture that I want us to realize. Having an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Have you ever had to avoid someone in church because of that? It sucks, man. Because people have got the appearance of godliness. How do I look in front of people? How do I act in front of people? How do I come across as good? But denying the power. That word power is the same word that was spoken of in Acts 1 verse 8. When the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the people. The Greek word is dunamis. And it means power. It means to be filled with everything that God has. And it actually speaks about the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is writing here is saying, people, if they know how to do church, they know how to look good, they know how to say the right thing and do the right thing. But there's nothing of substance in their lives. There's no power. And that word power translates back to the living water that Jesus spoke about. I'm going to show you now that we can come and be filled with God's power by drinking the water that Jesus has for us. So, computer, don't die on me. There we go. So firstly, that thing about they have forsaken me. They look good. They want to look good. Secondly, they dug their own cisterns. So what happened was, what guys wanted to do when there was a fountain, because that's what would happen, they would find a fountain or a well, all of a sudden they go like, how can we make this fit into what we're wanting to do? How do we preserve this thing? And it sounds all good, but actually what you're doing is, the Bible speaks about its broken cisterns. You know what a cistern is? In Afrikaans, it's a tank. Someone else said, what was the other word? Reservoir. Someone said a reservoir. So if you go look at what the picture looked like, what they used to do is they used to dig these big holes in the ground, try and put limestone on it, and then catch the water. Because they were like, what if it doesn't rain? And God is going, what are you doing? You're catching water that becomes stale, that becomes old, that doesn't become what I want it to do, it doesn't flow anymore. Have you ever smelled off water? Stinks. And so here's the interesting thing with cisterns is that they try to catch it so that they can drink from it whenever they wanted to. The thing with God is, He's saying, just come. Whenever you're thirsty, just come and drink. So we try and do what God was to give us, but we do it in our ways. Does it make sense? So we put things in place that we can go, how can this benefit us whenever we want it? The same Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 38, verse 6. We can put it up now. But if you go read about Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the prophet that brought the word of God to his people. And I think he was a little bit offensive. Well, I know he was offensive. Who's been offended in church? Not by what the preacher says, but what God has sort of, you know? You hear something, you go, I don't know where that fits in. Because that actually is going to make me change. So this is what happened to Jeremiah. He brought a word, and when he brought the word, the guys didn't like it. The servants of the king said, this is too much. This oak is talking rubbish. Can we throw him in a cistern? The king said, do with him whatever you want to. So let's read this. So they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the cistern of Malchiua, that guy, the king's son, which was in the court of the god, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And just read this. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. How often do we take even the word of God and we try and make it fit into our systems or cisterns that is empty, that is muddy? Not even water. You see, so we've got to be so careful because Jesus says, don't rely on your systems. Proverbs 3 verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust Him. Find God. And then in picture of this, Jesus stands up and He says, come to me, the living water. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, God is writing, he says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat and drink. So we don't have to slave for it. Jesus is saying, it's free, come, just come. Like what Andrew was saying, just sitting in a bed, in a hospital, saying, God, I need you. That's all it takes. And that's coming and drinking. I'm going to come a little bit more into that now. But I want to read can you put up John 4, verse 13 to 14? This is a story of Jesus at the well. You know the Samaritan woman where Jesus comes and he's sitting at Jacob's well. Jacob's well was this deep well that went all the way down into the ground. It was, and they actually had to work. The men those days were very clever. They sent the woman to go fetch the water because it was a lot of work. Just joking. Just joking. And Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, and he says to her, can you give me a cup of water? She goes, who are you to ask me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan, like a Jew, and I'm a woman. And he says to her this, give me a drink of water, and because you don't know who actually you're giving water to. And then he says to her, everyone who drinks of this water that I will give will never thirst again. And the picture there is that Jesus wants us to come to him again and drink from him. And what does that look like? I want to quickly break this down for us, just in light of what coming back to that picture of the tabernacle and what the feast of the tabernacle was all about. That spring the pool of Shalom, where they caught up the water and they poured it out. That was the same spring, the spring of Gion, that used to flow down into that well of I'm getting twisted in my thoughts here, where Jacob was. But the thing about that was, it was an intermittent spring. So it would well up from time to time. It wasn't something that was caught. It was fresh. And you know the thing with that spring was, when they stopped using it, guess what happened? Spring dried up. Isn't that crazy? So even today, that pool of Shion and that spring of Gion, it's dried up. It's built over. There's nothing there anymore. Archaeologists have broken it open. Who's been to Israel? Okay, has anybody seen that? Did you go to that place where archaeologists opened that up again? Because they closed it down. And that's exactly what happens to us. When we stop drinking from Jesus, we thirst. We don't have access to go anymore. You know, there's a medical term for this, severe hydration. It's called apodesia. You know what actually happens? You think you don't thirst anymore. You think you don't need water anymore. Severe hydration does that. It makes you dizzy. You start losing your eyesight. You start thinking, what is going on? And the thing that we need to realize is that if we don't constantly drink from Jesus, we will become that without vision, without a sense of like, God, this is what you're wanting us to do. So let the river flow, man. Let the river flow. I want to encourage us this morning. In the last days, that scripture that I said of denying the power, Acts 1, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and wells up a spring within us. In John 6, verse 36, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Who's learned that? Okay? I've tried to lean on my flesh. I've tried to find God's ways and make a plan. Afrikaners, 'n boer maak 'n plan. Isn't that so true? We think we know, man. We think we know best. This flesh is of no use. Life comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit of God. It's not about how we can make plans and what we can do. It's trusting God in that moment when we need him. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Romans 15 verse 13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power, that same word power, of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. When you're hopeless, you step into the river. You step into the spring of God. What are you wanting to do in my life? Let the river flow from within me. Ephesians 5, and I just want to, there's two more scriptures I want to read for us. Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine. So I'm not going to go into that. But it says this. And you know why they say that? You know why Paul actually wrote that? Because you remember the early days when the Spirit got poured out? When the people looked at them, what did they see? They were like, surely these people are drunk. Surely they're drunk. Who was there on Thursday night? That was different. That was different. And we've got to be careful that sometimes in the different that we miss God. Yes, there's things that I might have done differently. But you know what? There's a man with so much passion for Jesus. So much passion wanting God to come and work in people's lives. And we can get stuck on the different style sometimes and miss God. It looks drunk. People look drunk. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? Some people were, the Bible says, perplexed. Some people stood in awe and amazement of what God was doing. But then there were some people that actually mocked and scoffed and says, ah, what is this? And that's a scary thought. I've done that. I've looked at something and said, well, that's nothing. And I had to repent because it's actually, remember the scripture? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher. They're different. Do you know what happened on Thursday night? We saw people responding to the gospel for the first time ever. We saw actual 2 documented healings. And I know of about 3 or 4 people that got completely delivered from certain things. God was there. It was different. I'm the first one to agree. But I'm not going to let a difference hinder me from finding what God wants to do. So do not get drunk with wine. For that is debauchery. That is wrong. But the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that be filled is a continuous filling up. I pray that every single day. I'm the Holy Spirit. You can ask my kids. We pray every day. The thing I pray every day is, Holy Spirit, come fill us. Come lead us. Come guide us. So that we can walk in a way that honors you in everything that we do. Drinking from God. So I want to ask, what cisterns have you placed in your life? So to break it down, what system do you have? What program do you have? Has your quiet time become a program? Set my alarm, 6 o'clock, got half an hour, and that's good. Discipline is good, don't get me wrong. But God wants a relationship. I've got quiet times in the morning. But it's like, imagine I with my wife setting alarms for certain things. Pretty awkward. Why are you laughing, Johan? I'm just joking. You get what I'm saying? Like, we put God in our systems. We try and fit him into our world. We try and make him do what we want him to do. Instead of going, Jesus, my life is yours. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. How do you do that in your workplace? How do you do that in your family? How do you do that? You pray. Say, God, come and lead and guide me in everything that I need to do. And then it's listening to hear his voice. Like Matthew this morning. Holy Spirit just drew me here. And who knows what God's going to do in his life. Does it make sense? Jesus said, come all who are thirsty. Are you severely dehydrated spiritually? Do you need water? Are you tired? You know, as elders, we get tired. I had to take a week off last week. I've been running hard. I got tired, man. got a little bit delusioned. I think, Andre, have you been severely dehydrated today with running? And you don't know what's going on, hey? Who's been severely dehydrated? Just your brain goes, you don't know what's going on. It's like you don't have vision. I felt for some of us here, spiritually, you are dehydrated, severely dehydrated. And God is saying this morning, come and drink from the river of living water. Not dead, muddy, stinky water that cisterns hold. A fresh well of living water. And when I was preparing, I thought, how does that work? How do I do that? You know how we do it? John 4, at that well, Jesus said to the woman of the well, she said, I actually want to read it for us, and we're going to close with this. John 4, verse 23 to 24. You have that one. She said, Jesus says to her, but the hour is coming and is now here. And I want to say, now, this hour that we are in, this is the hour. It's here, it's now. It's for you that might be dehydrated and needs a drink. And this is what it is. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. And worship isn't just singing songs. Worship isn't just coming and looking at words on the board and singing. It's worship is opening up your life to God and saying, God, I need you more than anything else. I worship you. I lay down my life. I kneel before you to say, not my will be done, but your will be done in my life, God. Come and fill me up again. Let me drink of you this morning, God, so that the living water not just refreshes me, but actually the Bible says, it starts welling up inside of me. You know why? So that others can drink from what you're carrying out in the world. And I believe this morning God wants to do that in us. God wants a living water to well up within each one of us. Do you sense that? Are you thirsty this morning? You want to come share? Come share quickly, yeah.
So it feels like I'm holding a ticking time bomb. So this guy's getting very wriggly. But I've got something burning on my heart that I want to share with you guys. And it's amazing that the first scripture he brought onto the screen was the one rivers of living water. I'm not joking with you guys. I'm actually kind of shaking quite a lot. It feels like my blood is pumping. I feel like the Spirit really wants to do something, and I'm burning with this. And last week at the Youth Equip, man, I heard the river. I heard it. And I'm standing here as like this dude just sharing with you guys. I heard the river at this Youth Equip. And there was about, like, there was hundreds of these youth leaders, all sorts of ages, from 13, like Anna was there, all the way to guys that were like in their 70s. And there was just this moment where somebody broke open the word about the rivers of living water that flows through us, something that was prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years and came to be when Pentecost happened. And Peter stood up and said, this is what was prophesied for years and years. And in worship, there was just nobody knew what to do. And Mervis was the one ministering. And you know, Mervis is a gifted singer and he just flows in the Spirit, but he couldn't do anything. He just stood there. And he just said, guys, I feel like God wants us to hear this river. And people just started singing one by one. And we started to hear this sound that I can't explain to you guys. It was like nothing I've ever heard in my life. And I could do nothing else but stand and just weep as I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come upon me. And I felt like I connected to that river in my heart. And I did absolutely nothing. I didn't even have to raise my hands to get it. I didn't even have quiet time that morning. All I did was just listened and obeyed in my heart. And I tried my best in my heart just to connect with this river. And I want to encourage you guys, if you feel like you're in a drought, man, the best feeling in the world is hearing the river of God and feeling the river within you flowing. And so if you're hungry, like I'm holding a little baby here that's like been wriggling off his chops. And I won't allow a little kid, even if he starts crying, a little crying kid or whatever, to keep me from the presence of God. The presence of God is everything. And as I'm listening to Baron break this open, I'm just burning in my heart like, Holy Spirit, please come and help me to experience your presence like that again. Because I'm a changed man, just from a moment. And so if you are here and you're just feeling dry, man, that river is so available this morning. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday. You might not ever experience it if you don't jump in now. So if I could just ask you, just close your eyes for a second and just picture a river full of the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross and the Holy Spirit came. And that river is full of life that we cannot comprehend with our human brains. And it's available for us right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come flow within us this morning? God, would you come and flow so that religious acts and traditions and systems would just be gone, Lord, out of our lives? That even distractions like children and work and bad days wouldn't be enough to keep us from the presence of God. So Holy Spirit, would you come now and come and fill us with your living water? Come and fill us, Lord.
Let's just keep our eyes closed. Just sense, you know, even as you sat there and you heard of testimonies this morning and you saw people, you know, being rescued from drowning and heart attacks and all of these things, you know, everything that God does, He does it to give us moments and pictures of our lives. And I don't want any one of us to miss a moment in Him this morning. Because, and I say this every Sunday, because I believe it with all my heart, it's not by chance that we are here this morning. And I want to say, whether you're an elder, or you've been in this church for 18, 20 years, or whatever it is, or this is your first morning here, it's not by chance that you are here. Because our lives, God ordains everything in our lives. Maybe this morning you did come in here for the first time or the second time or the third time, fourth time, whatever it is. And just this morning, hearing of this community and hearing of what God is busy doing here and realizing that you haven't even started to drink the water. You've never tasted this life that we are talking about. And I want to say that Jesus ordained that you will be here today because He loves you more than what you understand. He's got a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life, whether you like Uncle John, 88 years old, or whether you are 10 years old here this morning. God has got a plan for your life, and it's not by chance that you're here. But I want to say, do you know Him the way that I'm talking about? Do you have that personal relationship with Him that you can just come into His presence and ask Him? Maybe you go, I've never done that. I don't even pray because I don't know. I want to say this morning, God is inviting you, just like that, what Jesus says. Come this morning. Come to the Father. Come to Him. And Jesus died on a cross more than 2,000 years ago for you, taking that sin, taking the things that we do, all the bad stuff that we do. And even if you think you're good, that appearance of godliness, remember that scripture? Maybe this morning you are that and you go, God, I've got that appearance of godliness. I want to be that. But actually, your power is not in me. Your spirit is not in me. I don't know you the way that I'm listening and I'm hearing what it is. And this morning, I want to get to know you, God. I want to have a personal relationship with you. And in a moment, I want to give you that opportunity just to say, God, please come into my life. And I want to ask everybody, eyes just closed, because it's not about embarrassing anybody, but it's actually an incredible moment of God just coming and touching your heart. And you know He's doing it because your heart is beating and your palms are sweaty. And you go, God, like, I know this, you're calling me back to you, God. Or you're calling me for the first time. And I want to say, if that's you, don't miss a moment in the Lord. And we'd love to pray with you and for you before we go and start drinking of the river that God wants to give this life to come within us. But I want to say, if that's you this morning, if you're going barren, I just want to, again, just say, God, come and live in my heart. Or for the first time, Jesus, come and take my life, take my sin, take everything that is not of you. I have got an appearance, but I do not know you, God. So no one's looking around. If that's you, don't you just want to quickly slip up your hand and say, Baron, that's me. Can you pray for me this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've been doing life my way. I've been doing whatever I want to do. But I want to this morning say, God, come and do what you want. Do whatever you want to do in my life. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Just quickly. Thank you. See that hand? So I want to ask this. I want to pray a prayer. And this prayer, it is between you and God. And at the same time, I want to say, God brought you here because he's going, you cannot walk this road out on your own. And what that means is that in this, I want you to go share with someone afterwards. This is what I've done. Please walk a road with me. Help me to be that, what filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with what God has got for me. But first, that we can just pray and say, God, come and enter my life again. I give you my heart. And I want to ask all of us, can we pray this out loud to help those that are praying this? And even if you haven't raised your hand, I want to say, if you're praying this and you're meaning it, please come share with someone. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come before you this morning. I thank you that I realize that you love me more than I understand. And that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me. To take away my sin. To take away everything that I've done wrong. And that you can come and wash me and cleanse me with your blood. Lord, I ask you this morning to come and live in my life. Come and live in my heart. I give you my life. Please help me to walk this road with you and to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give those guys just a round of applause? Just, and you know why? If you've raised your hand, if you've done that, or if even if you prayed, God knows. I want to say God knows. But share it with someone. Paulette said it earlier. This is where we share our lives with one another. Because we can't do this on our own. I know I can't do this on my own. I've got friends around me that walk this road with me. And I want to pick up what James said. Are you thirsty? Do you want that living water? And it's not a hype. It's not a, you know, the Bible speaks about when the Holy Spirit comes in us, it is we are complete in peace and we've got joy. So it might look different for different people. If someone's running around, then that's what they do. If someone's full of joy, just sitting, looking to God, that's what it is. I don't think it's a hype thing often, but I think what it is a knowing, a full assurance that you know that God is in your life. And I want us to this morning in worship to come out and just give our lives to God again and say, God, would you come and fill us up again? But I want to pray for us before we do that. So can we stand and we're gonna sing maybe one or two songs. We're probably going to end and we might carry on, who knows. But I want to say, just as the music come out, let's just... Are you dehydrated? So can I ask again, can we close our eyes? Can we close our eyes? Sorry.
Because you know what it is? I don't want us to get distracted. I don't want us to get distracted by others. But this morning, if you're here and you know Jesus, but you're going, God, I am thirsty. I want to drink from the living water this morning. I want you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible speaks about us as raising our hands. It is actually a sign of surrender, of just going, God, I want to stand in awe of everything that you are and who you are, God. And I want to drink of you this morning. And if you're thirsty this morning, don't you want to raise your hands like that? Just a sign of saying, God, I want more of you. I might be completely dehydrated spiritually, but this morning, God, I want to jump into your river. The river of God that flows from his throne room that Ezekiel speaks about. And I want to encourage you, in that moment that Ezekiel saw that river, he saw some people going ankle deep, saw some people going to their knees, some people with their hips, but then there were others that just got swept away by the river, man. I want to say, get swept away by the river. By this river of God. Lord, with arms raised to you this morning, Jesus, we come to the source, the river of life, the spring of life, the well that has got life in abundance this morning, God. And Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you would come and fill us up this morning, that rivers will start bubbling within us, God. Like the Afrikaans song said, it bottle in May. Let it bottle this morning, Lord Jesus, in our tummies, in our hearts, God. Let it well up a spring of living water. We want more of you, God, than ever before. We don't want an appearance of godliness, but we want your power to come within us, God, to work in us, Lord, to help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, that says no to sin, God. That's the power we want, God. The power to help us to follow you when it's so hard to do sometimes, God. That's the power. Holy Spirit, come. Come now, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Just ask him to fill you. Just say, come, fill me up, Holy Spirit. Fill me up from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Come, I want to be in you this morning, God. And if that's you, come out. Come out and let's worship our King. I want to say, just don't, who cares what people say. I want to come out. Let's sing a song. And it's not about a song. Don't misunderstand. It's about worshiping in spirit and truth and lifting our arms to him, saying, God, I give you everything.